So good morning. I'm going to be reading the whole of Exodus chapter 33, found in our new pew Bibles, page 148. 125. Sorry. Exodus 33. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Ammonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way." When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you." So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaking to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen."
Good morning. We now jump to the end of chapter 34. At the beginning of chapter 34, we learn that God tells Moses to go back up the mountain. And about 6 weeks passes when we get to verse 29. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what he'd been commanded. They saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord.
Well, good morning. My name is Andrew. I'm the senior pastor here. It is wonderful to have you here, especially if you are new or visiting with us. Let's pray as we open up God's holy word. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, as a pastor, there have been many times that I have sat with people who have gone through a relationship where there has been hurt. And the hurt is so great that it seems like things could never go back to the way they used to be. Marriages where there's been adultery, friendships where there's been betrayal, families where there's been deep wrongs committed. And it just seems like, how on earth could the relationship ever be restored? How on earth could it ever go back to what it was? And that is what we find ourselves in Exodus chapter 33 that we just heard read. Because the relationship between God, the holy God, and his people, the Israelites, has been deeply damaged. Last week we saw these Israelites had worshipped a golden calf. After all God had done for them, rescuing them out of Egypt, they are worshipping an idol. How could they do that? And it is very clear that this wrong is so serious that the relationship is damaged. Look at chapter 33, verse 1. Chapter 33, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt." Now, if you know Exodus, God has always said, "My people, my people." Here he goes, "You and the people that you brought up out of Egypt." Something's gone wrong. Verse 3, jump down. "Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you're a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way." And then verse 7, Moses is making a tent. And where's the tent that God is going to meet? It's some distance away out of the camp. Now remember, a few weeks ago we looked at the tabernacle. God was going to meet in a tent in the middle of his people. What do we have here? God's meeting with his people some distance away out of the tent, out of the camp. Something has gone seriously wrong. Because of the people's sin, this relationship is damaged. And friends, we've got to understand that it is the same for you and I. Every single one of us, every single person, our relationship with God has been damaged because of our sin. We've all rebelled against God. We've all disobeyed him. We've all worshipped things other than him. And there is a problem. Our sin is so offensive, it is so serious, that how on earth could the relationship just go back to as though it never happened. It could not. But praise God for who he is. Because there's those words in Exodus 34, verse 6, and they're worth memorizing. It says this about God: the Lord, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Friends, that is our God. He is forgiving. He is merciful. He is gracious. And he finds a way to deal with the brokenness of our relationship with him. He sends his son Jesus, who dies for our sins, pays the price so we could be friends with God once again. He's compassionate, he's gracious, he's forgiving. And it was the same with the Israelites. Moses comes before God. Remember, we saw last week, Brian was mentioning Moses is like a mediator. He's a mediator. He's representing the Israelites to God. And he comes before God and he's got three big requests today. Three big requests. And in all of them, God responds not by giving them what they deserve, but by giving them what they do not deserve, because he is full of mercy and forgiveness. Request number one, stay with your people. That's Moses' first request of God. Stay with your people. Look at verse 15, Exodus 33, verse 15. Moses said to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and all your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" Moses is negotiating with God. And he's saying to God, "God, don't abandon us. What's the point in us going to the promised land with all the milk and honey if you're not going to be with us? There's no point us even taking a step further, God. We need you. And God, how are you going to show the nations your glory through us if you're not with us? Do not abandon us. Stay with us." And God, what does he do? Verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you've asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." God responds and says, "Okay, I will stay with you. But it's not because of the Israelites, that they just worshipped a golden calf. It's because I'm pleased with you, Moses." Moses, the mediator. "I'm pleased with you, Moses, and so because I'm pleased with you, I will go with the Israelites to the promised land." Well, friends, it's because of Jesus, our perfect mediator, that God promises to be with us. It's because of Jesus, who lived the perfect life and died on a cross and rose again. It's because God is pleased with him and what he has done that God promises to be with us. He's forgiven us and he's given us his Holy Spirit, and we will never be alone, never be abandoned. He will always be with us. Do you realize how precious that is, that God is with us? If we do not have God, what is the point? John Piper has a quote. It's on the screen. I'll read it for you. "The critical question for our generation and for every generation is this: if you could have heaven with no sickness, with all the friends you ever had on earth, and all the food you ever liked, and all the leisure activities you ever enjoyed, and all the natural beauties you ever saw, and all the physical pleasures you ever tasted, and no conflict or any human disasters, could you be satisfied with heaven if Christ was not there?" Heaven, it's got, imagine it's got everything that you could ever want, but Jesus is not there, would you be satisfied? Because Moses is saying to God, God, promised land, milk and honey, sure. But if you are not there, I'm not taking a step further. As a church, we can have good music, nice comfy seats, a nice building, good community. But if we do not have God, we are nothing. We are nothing. How are we going to grow? How are we going to reach people if we don't have God? As we go through the hard moments of our life, the grief, as we try and be faithful in our marriages and our singleness and our workplace, how can we take a step further if we do not have God? We need His presence. And what a wonderful thing we saw a few weeks ago. We are like mini tabernacles. God has given us His Holy Spirit. He is with us. And whatever we do, wherever we go, we can enjoy Him. We can meet with Him. We can read His word. He is with us. And I love the picture of Moses talking with God like one speaks to a friend. Did you see that verse? It reminds me of the hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." Isn't it wonderful that we can be friends with God? Friends. And that is what Jesus has won for us at the cross. To know that He is always with us, and He, the Lord Jesus, is like a friend. That's Moses' first request. Stay with your people, God. Don't leave us. And God says yes. Well, Moses isn't done. He's got a yes to that question, but now he's got his next question. Question number two. It's there in verse 18. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Charles Spurgeon said that this is the greatest petition that anyone has ever asked of God. Show me your glory. Because, of course, Moses has seen some of God's glory, the burning bush, the fire and lightning on the mountain. Moses has seen some of it. But here he's asking for a direct view. He wants to see it all. Show me your glory. Can you imagine seeing all the glory of God? Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? Humbling that would be? Awe-inspiring? We were made for glory. We were made for more than just doom scrolling on our phones. Made for more than just the here and now. We're made for glory. It's why when we see a sunset, we go, wow. It just lifts our spirits because we were made to experience glory. And tragically, we've worshipped all kinds of other things rather than the most glorious one, God. So Moses says, show me your glory. Well, what does God say? It's a very Aussie reply. Yeah, nah. Yeah, nah. Yes and no. He says, yes. Okay, Moses, I'll show you my glory. Let me tell you what I'm like. I'm compassionate. I'm gracious. I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in love. Because that is what makes God glorious. It's when we look at who He is. It's when we look at what he's done on the cross. That's the glory of God. But then he says, no. No, Moses, you can't see my glory, because if you did, you'd die. I am perfect and holy, and you are a sinner. If you saw my glory, you would die. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in a little rock. You're going to hide behind the rock, and my hand is going to cover you. It's going to protect you. And I'll pass by, and Moses, all you're going to be able to see is my back. Just my back. It reminds me of when you want to look at an eclipse. You want to look at an eclipse? You need those special glasses. Because if you didn't, you'd damage your eyes. The glasses help you see just enough without being hurt. And God's saying, all right, Moses, let me give you a way so you see just enough of my glory without being consumed. It'd be pretty cool to be with Moses hiding behind that rock, wouldn't it? Hiding behind there, getting a little sneak peek. But we have it far better. John chapter 1 says this about Jesus. We have seen his glory. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Friends, you want to see the glory of God? We got it better than Moses. Look at Jesus. Look at what he did. Look at his teachings. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You're investigating Jesus. Read the accounts of Jesus' life in the Gospels. You'll be staggered by how incredible he is. You want to see the glory of God? Look at Jesus. And most of all, look at the cross. It's at the cross that God is making a way for us to be in his presence and not be consumed. Because at the cross, Jesus is paying the price for our sin. What a glorious thing that Jesus, in very nature God, would die for you and I. You want to see God's glory? Look at Christ. A great prayer to pray, I think, every morning is, God, today, show me your glory. Show me your glory today, God. Show me your glory in creation. Show me your glory in your people. Show me your glory in your word. Show me your glory as I look at Jesus. And of course, it's what we pray for the people of St. George, our area, the hundreds and thousands of people around us. We want them to see the glory of Jesus. Well, Moses has one final request. Make us your people. Chapter 34, verse 8. Chapter 34, verse 8. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. Or other translations say, take us as your possession. God, make us your people again. God, yes, we're stiff-necked. Yes, we're rebellious. Yes, we don't deserve it, but please, you're forgiving. Would you forgive us and make us yours again? Which, if you think about it, is what everyone needs to do when they become a Christian. Come before God, confess that we have sinned, and ask him to forgive us and make us his child. And God says yes. He makes a covenant with them, a promise. He gives them his Ten Commandments again, round two. The first time they blew it, but this is God saying, yes, you're still mine, you're my people, here's the commandments. And Moses comes down the mountain, and almost as a way of assuring everyone that yes, God was with Moses, yes, God is still going to be with his people, yes, he forgives them, yes, he still loves them, Moses' face is glowing. It's a bit like when someone has spent a bit too much time in the sun and they get sunburnt. They got the beetroot face radiating with heat. And you know, okay, you've spent too much time in the sun. And everyone would have seen Moses and gone, oh, Moses, you've been spending time with God again, haven't you? In fact, his face was glowing so much that people were terrified and he had to wear a veil. He would go and meet with God regularly. God would speak to him and his veil would be off. He would be in the presence of God. He would come down the mountain and deliver the commandments that God had said, still with his veil off. So everyone knew, okay, we've got to listen to this. God has said this. And then he'd put the veil back on. I don't watch free-to-air TV very much. But sometimes Christine and I have a guilty pleasure. We watch those TV shows about botched plastic surgery. You know those TV shows? Someone who ends up with three nostrils or five chins or a tummy tuck that got infected or things like that. And you think, how on earth could that happen? And why on earth did they do that? You see, if you're looking for a glow-up, if you're looking to look beautiful, you can. It's by spending time with Jesus. You want to radiate. You want to glow up. Spend time with Jesus. Everyone knew Moses had spent time with God because he was radiating. And as Christians, when we spend time with the Lord, we are transformed. When someone meets Jesus, they're never the same again. You ever known someone who you knew them before they were a Christian? Then they get converted and you just see their life changes. Well, maybe you can think of people in our church. And I know I can, even looking across the room. People who just seem to radiate. They radiate godliness. They radiate joy. They radiate peace. You know those people? And why is that? You know why. Because they have spent so much time with Jesus. Of course that's why. They've been transformed. Now, in the time of Exodus, there was only one person who got this glow up. It was Moses. But look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we all of us, anyone who is a Christian, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Friends, out there in our area, most people have a veil over their eyes. They don't see how glorious Jesus is. They're blind to it. But anytime someone trusts in Jesus, the veil is taken off. And they see who Jesus is. They see what he's done for them and they believe and they see his glory. Now, we can't take the veil off people's eyes. Only God can by his Spirit. And he does it. He's saving people, taking off the veil. And once that happens, friends, once someone turns to Jesus, then they start to radiate. The more time they spend with Jesus, the more time they spend in his word, God transforms us. Ever increasing glory, making us more like Christ. They say that the longer a couple is married, the more they begin to look like each other. You heard that theory? I don't know how true it is, but a lot of people say it. And friends, the more and more time you spend with Jesus, the more time you spend with your friend Jesus, the more you begin to be like him and radiate his glory. When people see you in the office, what do you radiate? They see you in the pub, on the playing field, at the family luncheon. What do you radiate? Do you radiate fitness? People just say, oh, that guy's just, he's so fit. He's always at the gym. Look at that. Wow. Do you radiate intellect? She's smart. She's intelligent. Do you radiate your love of sport? Or what is it that just you shine? Is there anything different about you? Do you radiate Christ? A great prayer to pray is, God, today may I radiate you. May I shine for you. Show me your glory today so that I might reflect that glory to the worlds. We have it so much better than Moses, friends. We know his presence day by day. His spirit is with us and he will never leave us. We've seen all God's glory on display in Jesus, who died for us and rose again. And we are being transformed more and more into Jesus' likeness as we spend time with him. And so let's pray and ask God to show us more of who he is and transform us to be more like his son. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, show us your glory. Show us more of who you are. Show us more of Jesus and help us to understand and appreciate and worship you. We thank you for all that you have done for us, for Jesus' death for us and his resurrection, for the certainty of heaven, for the comfort that you are with us, that you are our friend, that we can be with you. And we pray that as we fix our eyes on your Son, you would transform us day by day, that we would never be the same, and that we as a church would shine brightly, shining for you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand and let's respond.